Hello everyone, I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. It's 4:32 p.m. Eastern on the 5th of August, 2020. Well, I drove into Columbus today. I had to meet someone at work for something, and I haven't been to our office since February. I think it's February or the beginning of March, probably February. There was almost no one there. Of course, we're quote unquote on lockdown and working remotely, working from home, which seems to work out pretty well. But it is so uncomfortable and strange wearing these masks and seeing people with these masks on. It's like something out of a Orwell movie. It's just difficult to put into words the circumstances that we're in, and it's so easy to trigger people. By saying almost anything now, it just seems to trigger people because they're under a psychological pressure, I believe. There's a lot of confusion in the world. And there is a very important line, and it's on page 224 of the Might of Thoughts. And it goes like this. It says, "This is in contrast to entangled ideas confuse the thoughts and abruptly go from one extreme to another, whereby a misdirection of the thoughts arises, which triggers emotions and can even lead to manslaughter and murder." Ideas are incomplete. An ideal, IDEALS, is complete. So when you have ideas, these are not completely developed. And what we want to do is thoroughly contemplate these ideas. But if you haven't thoroughly contemplated it enough, then these ideas will they tend to become tangled. And then you'll feel lost, confused, unsure, unclear, perplexed, disoriented, bewildered. It's really a bad situation. And this confuses the thoughts. Now, when something is confused, what you've done is you've blurred the distinctions between things. You've kind of muddied the waters. It's difficult to make your categories if you're in a confused circumstances. And also, confusion has some way of producing a very primitive reaction in a human being. They lash out, they become angry, they will attack you verbally or attack you physically. And if you, by the same token, when you yourself are confused, it can be very bewildering and perplexing. And that can trigger emotions. Remember, the emotions explode wildly many times, whereas feelings grow out of the thoughts. And that's what we want. We want higher feelings that produce higher, or we want higher thoughts, which produce higher feelings than higher habits and then higher circumstances. So it goes kind of like that in your life. You think a thought, then a feeling comes from the thought. And a lot of times feelings are simplifications of the thought. And then from the feelings, you engage in certain habits. And your habits then lead to circumstances in your life. So if you're habitually a hard worker, then you will reap the benefit of your hard work in probably multiple areas, and it depends on what your hard work is. By the same token, if you're careless or if you're messy, then you would reap, if those are your habits, then you would maybe reap a room that has no organization and is in a chaotic state, which would then play back into your psyche and your own feelings and affect your psyche. So let me begin again on page 224. This is a contrast to entangled ideas confuse the thoughts and abruptly go from one extreme to another. Have you ever felt yourself do that? Have you ever been triggered and before you know it, you're thinking, crazy thoughts about who knows what, strangling somebody or something? And you go from one extreme to another, like, oh my goodness, I could not do that. I like this person. Oh my goodness, I'm angry. They're abrupt. And this creates a misdirection. So your thoughts are just going in places they should not go at all, which triggers the emotion and can lead to manslaughter and murder. So confusion. It's really important to have a clear vision. And Billy talks about the importance of a clear vision. Without a clear vision, you can have anxiety and doubt. Maybe we can add confusion to that as well. So if you feel confusion about something, A, relax. First of all, relax. And then B, start thinking about it, and start to try to sort out what needs to be done and the order that the things need to be done. Don't let your thoughts go from one extreme to another. Stop them. If you're feeling confused, do not let your thoughts go from one extreme to another. Don't allow the misdirection of the thoughts. It's because we don't want to trigger emotions. And it all starts with tangled ideas, which ideas are not completely developed. So ideas are incompletely developed factors which must be thoroughly contemplated. The example given is that people get caught up in ideas and are not able to become free of them. And you hear about people when they repeat the same thing in their thoughts over and over again, and they're always talking about this unfair situation at work or how a friend, family member treated them badly, and they can't free themselves from it. And the thoughts are not organized, they're tangled. There's kind of a frantic behavior that usually goes with the tangled ideas. So let's look at this cause and effect again. I wonder, we're really trying to break this down. Here's a cause, tangled ideas. Here's an effect, confusion in the thoughts. Here's a cause. We say the thoughts then go abruptly to extremes. And the effect of that is a misdirection of thoughts. So now the thoughts are frantically going to places they shouldn't go. And then the cause is emotions then flow out of that. And then you get violence, manslaughter, and murder. Here's an interesting statement in a bulletin, a FIGU bulletin. As a matter of fact, in the entire universe, everything is built up on information of a creational nature. Consequently, nothing delivers so-called non-existent chance nor chaos. Rather, everything, and indeed, also, all matter is constructed on information. So we don't live in a universe of chaos. What does it say? Love is the highest principle in all creation, and through it, everything exists in absolute logic. So our existence is in absolute logic. That doesn't mean we don't behave illogically at times. But the universe is very logical. It works in absolute logic. Love is the highest principle in all creation, and through it everything exists in absolute logic. So, non-existent chaos, or non-existent chance or chaos, rather, everything is constructed on information. Truthfully, everything has its order, determined through information, which manifests through the law of causality, respectively cause and effect. So, if we become disoriented and bewildered and our ideas are tangled, that is not the fault of the universe around us. We always have to take responsibility for our thoughts and feelings. Entangled means untidy, matted, confused, messy, chaotic, twisted, as in twisted threads, a snarl. Tangled ideas confuse the thoughts. When we're confused, we can't think clearly, and we get bewildered. Confusion is a disordered consciousness and may include the loss of linear thinking. And then it becomes very difficult to go from step A to step B to step D to step E, because somewhere along the lines you got angry and that entered in there, or confused, and that led to anger. And then the thoughts go from one extreme to another, from love to hate. And then you get the misdirection of the thoughts, and then emotions are triggered. And then you can end up in murder and manslaughter that way. And you lose the room for virtue and rationality in your consciousness. Irrationality and virtuelessness start to govern in the consciousness. You'll start to say things you know aren't true just to strike out at a person. And if it goes too far, you'll actually physically strike out at a person. And it becomes, you cannot really set a zeal either, a life determination in this state of mind. You cannot really get focused to do anything like that. So only the incomplete ideas can be followed. The individual becomes caught or trapped by ideas, and he can't get free of them, and he can't turn them into ideals. You have to really calm down and relax and thoroughly contemplate and work through these notions you have. Then we have to think of what are the values and the unvalues in what I'm thinking. And if you have an unvalue, it may take years to change for the better. An unvalue is maybe you've decided or become habitually overeating or something, because that felt like something good, an idea, and it has based on an unvalue. Like, I can do this, I can eat that other brownie, it's not really going to bother me. I'll just burn it up. You know, people think the same things and they're drinking alcohol or smoking or taking drugs. It's not really going to hurt me. Yeah. So, it's an unvalue. It, like in smoking, might take someone months or even years to really change that bad habit. So our life is supposed to be directed at evolutive striving. We want to gain values that are true and progressive and higher. And eventually, the real goal, too, is to get an evolutive attitude. So in all the areas of your life, you're looking to create this. You have an attitude that says, I'm not going to take this path because it seems unhealthy. There's unvalues here. The goal is to bring your ideas into ideals and bring them to fruition. This builds kind of an inner persistence, which is a very, very good thing. Now, what are thoughts? We talk about thoughts all the time. Probably science really doesn't know. Maybe the Pleiaren know. We little earthlings down here probably don't even understand what our thoughts are. We would define it as a thought encompasses a goal-oriented flow of ideas and associations that lead to a reality-oriented conclusion. Although thinking is an activity of an existential value for humans, there is no census as to how it is defined or understood, so we don't really know exactly. But I really do think there's something into this succession that Billy talks about on page 142 of The Mind of Thoughts. Lower thoughts form lower feelings. Remember? The feelings grow out of the thoughts. What are the feelings? The feelings are life-sustaining. They enable quick processing of internal and external stimuli, like somebody's in your face and yelling at you. A feeling will process that. In fact, you may just have a feeling that blocks that external stimuli. And because really what the feelings are trying to do are simplify things and make life easier and bearable. And the feelings allow the thoughts to discharge so they don't get too hot. So if someone's yelling at you, you may just generate a feeling towards that person that, well, you know they're just being irrational right now. They'll calm down in a little bit. So the feeling is a buffer that keeps you from becoming irrational. Feelings also deliver power to the psyche. The psyche is the part that regulates the material consciousness. You know, every human being has a material consciousness and a spiritual consciousness. The material consciousness is who you are right now in this physical life. You'll only be this person once. When you reincarnate, you'll be a different person. You'll have a different material consciousness, but the same spiritual consciousness. The material consciousness is focused on what's going on right now. It handles the detail of life, the driving the car, the reading the book, that sort of thing. So it's important to recognize that you have this spiritual consciousness down there. It's deep, deep within you. And it will send you impulses of wisdom, which are direction determining. And if you'll listen to these impulses, the feelings can be of a long-lasting duration. In other words, these impulses from the spiritual consciousness, you can actually start to associate with feelings. And you can remember, okay, maybe I'm getting a little gut feeling here that I need to follow. Remember, the feelings make life easier and more bearable. They allow the thoughts to discharge. And they deliver the power to the psyche. And the psyche controls the thoughts and the feelings. It regulates them. It's really important to use the right words here. Looks after them. Your spirit form, which is your spiritual consciousness, is providing the energy for your life. When it came into your body when you were 21 days old, it caused the heart to beat. And it sent out this energy like a lattice structure. And you started to think. And even as a little embryo there, or a fetus, which I think is before the embryo, maybe the embryo is before the fetus, you will have more advanced thoughts in the womb than we realize, and also feelings. Now, Goblet of Truth, page 28, says something very interesting about thoughts. It says, you, however, remain connected with your thoughts and feelings. So, we are connected to our thoughts and feelings always. In the fine fluidalness in a swinging wave based wise. Now, the fluidal energies come out from your consciousness, and they embed themselves in books that you're reading, your furniture, and your walls, and your musical instruments, even in the trees in your yard, probably in your pets, in your PC or whatever, particularly in jewelry, if you're wearing jewelry. And other people, when they pick up items that you are connected with a lot of fluidal energy that goes into them, they can also be affected by your fluidal energies. The fluidal energies can be very powerful. The thoughts and the feelings generate these energies. And the ghostly activities are mostly from these fluidal energies. There's a really interesting example. I believe it is, or was, Michael Utterbrook who created this. He did a little talk on fluidal energies. I don't really have it handy, but I need to look that up. That is, well, maybe I do have it handy. The mental fluidal powers are the personal mental emanations and swinging waves, it's called. The Meyer information calls it swinging waves, and these are come from our brain, from the superior colliculus, from our consciousness. They come from the thoughts and feelings of our consciousness. The swinging waves contain the character of the human being and are related to movements in the consciousness. And the powers settle, particularly in our skeleton. That's why you shouldn't be cremated. Because there's some way the subconscious of your next life will make a back connection to the skeleton that's buried. So the powers settle in the skeleton. They emanate out from the consciousness. These swinging waves are deposited into objects, books, like I said, clothing, jewelry. The longer these things surround you, the more intensively they'll be charged. So if you're thinking and feeling, you're constantly charging up things like the mouse that you use to steer your cursor, books that you read a lot. The energy, it settles in the skeleton. And it's actually your character that it's being deposited in these objects over time. And these swinging waves that I'm talking about are associated to the personality, to the psyche, the feeling, and they are deposited in books. The energy of the mind goes into the walls, everywhere around the human. And there's a way of perceiving that the Meyer information calls the fine fluidal way. And I think that happens, for example, like when you walk into a house and you could feel repelled immediately or attracted. If you have a piece of clothing that makes you feel good, it could be that you have a lot of positive swinging waves deposited into that item. So when your thoughts and your feelings produce these swinging waves and these fluidal energies, it's creating like a little world and environment for you. Now, animals and plants also have fluidal energies. And these come from their instinct. And like a positive fluidal energy can have a positive effect, a negative fluidal energy can have a negative effect. So, like I was saying earlier, you walk into a house and you feel repelled or attracted. The swinging waves deposit themselves into walls and beams of the house. Now, negative swinging waves that are placed in objects can cause nightmares and bad dreams. It's another interesting thing. An animal that chews a bone, like a dog that chews a bone, fluidal energies can then be stored in that bone. So the more balanced that you are in your thinking, neutral, positive, the stronger is that fluidal protection. The more unstable the person is, the more that they can be negatively impacted by swinging waves. So you can think of it as like you have a fluidal immune system, which can become weakened by wrong thinking. Fluidal immune system, that's a very interesting concept. The fluidal energies. And you can, through thinking, negative, wrong thinking, even draw to yourself problems, mental problems particularly, that already existed in a previous life and were not resolved. If you have a true back connection to your skeleton, you can draw information and power from an earlier life. It's very interesting. And for example, problems associated with memories can be released after many, many years. So we don't want to do that. We want to have positive effects from our back connections. So we want to always think in neutral, positive way. I kind of got off on an interesting tangent there, the fluidal energies. We'll have to get back to the contact reports next time. Well, I hope you've enjoyed the show. It's really fun going over this information again and getting refreshed by it again. Thanks for all the people that have been listening to the program. Have a great evening. We'll catch you next time. Bye-bye.